I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome to Warriors Off Court, the San Francisco Chronicles NBA podcast. I'm your host, Warriors beat writer Connor Letourneau. On today's episode, I'm joined by longtime Chronicle columnist Scott Osler, who has been helping me out on the Warriors beat again this season. During our conversation, Scott and I went in-depth on the NBA's historic decision to suspend games for at least a month. Scott, we're here on a Thursday evening at my humble abode in Alameda, California. And full disclosure to our listeners, I've tried the past 2 days to get a podcast up analyzing the big news that came out yesterday that the NBA is suspending its season. But first of all, the first time was with Scott, and that was mainly about the Warriors' plans to play what was supposed to be tonight in front of no fans against the Nets. And then the NBA came out announcing that the season has been suspended, so that whole podcast was basically irrelevant, so we didn't post it. And then earlier today, I did a podcast with Aaron Killian over the phone, and my app recording the podcast didn't work. So Scott was nice enough to drive all the way from Orinda to Alameda to sit down and make sure that we wouldn't have any technical difficulties. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, and you know what? If we record this podcast, and then I'm driving home, and I find out there's a meteor hurtling towards Earth and going to destroy us all, and renders our podcast irrelevant, I'm going to be really pissed off.
Yeah, that's the only reason, right? Because of the podcast. Right. If you're dying in a car crash on the way home, you're going to be thinking, the podcast, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah, the podcast is everything. No, but jokes aside, there have been some serious ramifications to the news yesterday. They're extremely wide-ranging. And they vary in severity in terms of how big of a deal they are. But when the news dropped yesterday that the league was suspending its operations indefinitely, now we know it's going to be at least 30 days. What was your reaction?
I was stunned because this is the first, the NBA was the first to drop this shoe. And that doesn't surprise me because I think Adam Silver is really kind of a bold guy, and if anybody's going to make that first move, it's going to be him. So, but it shocked me, and it kind of pissed me off for one thing, because I had just written a column based on the Warriors playing tonight, being Thursday night, a game against the Brooklyn Nets in an empty arena, and that was going to be cool and everything. I'd written my whole column. So I'm driving home, and I find out they've canceled the whole season, so my column is now irrelevant, and I have to rewrite the whole thing. So that was my first reaction. How does it affect me? But it really kind of shocked me, because it really, it's one thing to play games in front of in an empty arena, but to shut down the whole season, man. I've been watching sports for like a half a century, and that just doesn't happen. It's almost like a sacred thing. The world doesn't spin unless baseball, basketball, and football are played within certain seasons and without any time off. So it was crazy.
Yeah, and you know, the interesting thing about it is the league really had no choice in the matter once Rudy Gobert got coronavirus. You know, when I'm finishing up my story and I'm leaving the Chase Center and I see on TV that they're canceling the Thunder Jazz game because of something strange, it hadn't really come out what the reason was. I'm like, okay, something's about to drop. Then we hear that Rudy Gobert has coronavirus. And of course, my immediate thought is they have to suspend the league, because once you actually have a name to a player with coronavirus, it changes the whole dynamic. It changes the whole landscape of everything. It's really easy to sit back and hear about the numbers and hear about the cases, but unless you actually know someone, it doesn't fully feel real. And the fact that it was someone like Rudy Gobert, someone who's a Defensive Player of the Year, All-Star caliber player, I think just makes it hit home that much more. But in retrospect, how silly is it that just a couple of days ago we were complaining about the fact that we were getting our access restricted in the locker room? And here we are now writing about how the league is suspended indefinitely, and not just the NBA, but really every sporting league in throughout the country. The NCAA tournament isn't going to happen, which blows my mind. Probably the best sporting event in America isn't going to happen. And it kind of reminds you how naive we were.
Yeah.
Because all it took was, you know, a couple people, really one person at first, to get it, and then it changes everything. And now, just given the numbers, given how much this is spreading, you're realizing that this is just the tip of the iceberg.
Right.
This isn't necessarily going away anytime soon.
Why didn't we see this coming? I think Adam Silver did, and probably other people, but we were thinking like you were thinking, that just, just keep going on. But obviously, it was a matter of days, not weeks or anything, a matter of days before some guy in the NBA tested positive for this, and it was going to have to be shutdown time. And it's not like these guys are immune to every disease, so it was going to happen. And but yet we were still blindsided by it, and it was nuts. So just like, whoa, how can they shut the whole thing down? I'm still sort of, it's weird, you know, because I read stuff, and basically we're all going to eventually be exposed to this stuff, this virus. And obviously the thing now is we want to extend this exposure out so we don't all get hit at once with the virus, which would cause a lot of people to die unnecessarily. And I'd probably be right in the forefront because I'm right in the demographic of the people who are the perfect target for this little virus thing. But it's, we should have seen it coming, but we have no idea now how long it's going to stay.
Just kind of a little aside, the second person in the NBA to get coronavirus was Donovan Mitchell, who's obviously another all-star caliber player, the other best player on the Jazz. And, you know, there were reports coming out that a lot of players were frustrated because apparently Rudy Gobert had been kind of cavalier in how he'd handled the whole thing. And obviously he made that joke a couple days ago after the press conference where he touched every single recorder. And I'm friends with some of those Jazz or beat writers, and they're being quarantined in Oklahoma City now. And so, you know, and they can't travel, they can't do anything. And, you know, it's real. You know, people's lives are being affected by this. And I wrote a story a couple months ago on Donovan Mitchell's relationship with Eric Paschal. And it was an exclusive type deal. I went to the Jazz team hotel, which I believe was the Four Seasons down off Market. And I sat down with them. in...
Are you coughing?
No, I'm okay. I sat down with them in like an auxiliary room at the hotel, and I was told before walking in from the Jazz PR staff, you cannot be sick in any way. Like, you can't be coughing, you can't be... you know, we can't have you in that close proximity with Donovan if you're iffy in any way health-wise. And it was because apparently Donovan is a total germaphobe. He is a total freak when it comes to that stuff. And, you know, he had emergency in his water bottle, and he apparently does that all the time just to guard against, you know, getting sick. And I was a little nervous because I actually did have like a mild cough at that time. And so I like... didn't want to cough at all during our entire hour-long sit-down because I was worried he'd, like, freak out and get up and storm out of the room because I had said that I wasn't sick, which I wasn't really sick, but I was kind of, like, borderline. And so I can only imagine how he feels. He's like, dude, like, I am the biggest germaphobe ever. I'm the biggest neat freak ever.
Wow.
And here I am with the coronavirus.
Okay, by the way, I want to read this story in the paper because this is an interesting site story.
And
I did not know this until you just mentioned that.
Yeah, fascinating. It was the first thing I thought of when I saw today that Donovan Mitchell had coronavirus. And I'm sure it's only going to exacerbate his cleanliness more, you know, as he gets healthy and gets... The truth is, I think he'll be fine. I think Rudy Gobert will be fine. They're in peak physical shape. I'm more worried about someone like, Tom Hanks, you know, who is around your age, right? And
yeah, that's right. He's an old guy. Rub it in, buddy. Hey, listen, I'm worried about you and you folks. I told Connor this the other day. I said, if you were a person who wanted to get the coronavirus, the first thing you would do is you would go out and get yourself a job as an NBA beat writer for a newspaper. Because that, if there's anybody susceptible to getting any kind of sickness, any kind of virus, it'd be an NBA beat writer. Because you guys are constantly on the road. You're overworked. You're run down. You're working day and night. You're traveling. You're in airports. You're in crowded arenas constantly. You're just like, have a neon sign on your head saying, germs, come and get me. And so I don't even know why I'm here doing this podcast with you, frankly.
I was joking with a friend of mine the other day, and I was like, if anyone's going to get the coronavirus, it's going to be me. And he was like, he didn't even laugh. He was like, yeah, totally. It's going to be you. I was like, sweet. All right. I'm glad we're in agreement about that. The weird thing about this situation is we don't have any answers. There's like, I wrote a story today that basically said we have no idea what's going on. No one knows what's going on. There's a lot of questions. We're just getting to the point where now we're starting to maybe figure out what the right questions to ask are, because this is so unprecedented. Nothing like this has ever happened in major professional sports history. The league announced that, you know, they're going to suspend operations for 30 days. All teams are barred from practicing or doing any sort of group workout until at least March 16th. They want teams and players to self-quarantine, especially the ones who came into contact with the Jazz within the past week or two. Luckily, the Warriors have not played the Jazz since early January. They haven't even played anyone recently that played the Jazz recently, except for the Wizards, who played the Jazz on March 1st. Yeah. So the Warriors are probably fine, but, you know, you never know. The Warriors are actually in the same position that we're all in, where everyone kind of assumed, oh, so they're all getting tested, right? Well, actually, no, because they can't find any testing kits. They are getting tested on a symptomatic basis. If you have any symptoms, come in and get tested. But right. I was talking to someone with the Warriors today, and he said, we can't find any kits. Like, you know, that's how bad it is. It's kind of absurd that the Golden State Warriors can't find testing kits, but that's where we're at right now.
Yeah. And some of the testing is, if you get flu-like symptoms, you can get tested, and they can tell you that you've got the regular flu, but they don't have the kits to tell you if you've got the coronavirus. So if you've got the regular flu, it's probably not coronavirus. So it's kind of a roundabout way of clearing you. But, you know, how many days or hours before this all explodes? Because we're all gradually getting exposed, and we all intermingle and all that stuff. Any day now, it's just going to be, okay, everybody's sick.
The epicenter, ground zero for all this, was obviously China. The Chinese Basketball Association suspended operations in late January, and they are now targeting resuming sometime in early April. So it'll be about a 10-week layoff for them. Assuming they actually do resume in early April. And let's say hypothetically that this kind of follows a similar trajectory as China. 10 weeks, that would take us through deep into the playoffs early June, which is when the finals are.
Yeah.
We'll have more of my conversation with Scott Osler right after the break.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Everything's on the table now. Here's one possibility, is that it goes so deep and so long, and it becomes such a nationwide thing that eventually they say, all right, we're just going to take the top team in the East and the West, and we're going to play a finals. And sorry, You other 30 teams?
It might get to that point. It might. I personally think the chances of any more regular season games happening are minimal.
Right.
Because right now, given the timeline, the Warriors would have 3 regular season games left. Obviously, this doesn't really matter for the Warriors, who are the only team in the NBA mathematically eliminated already from the postseason. I talked to some people today who said that if they could, they actually would like to play those final 3 regular season games, mainly just to kind of use them as almost a preseason for the playoffs. They'd have a really long layoff from playing, so they'd like to not be super rusty when the playoffs start and get right physically, especially given that they've had to quarantine themselves and probably haven't even been working out. You don't want to have a first-round series where everyone's out of shape. So I can understand the merits of that. Maybe that happens. But I think the bigger question is, do we even have a playoffs? And that, to me, is very much in doubt right now. And it'll be really interesting. If you start it later, do you keep the same format and just extend it later into the summer, maybe start the next season later? Do you shorten it? Do you do like a 5-game series instead of a 7-game series? Do you eliminate the first round? There's a lot of things you could do. And none of them are ideal. But this whole situation is so unprecedented. I mean, it's like I said earlier, it still blows my mind that we're not having a March Madness. Like, that is so huge.
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine being one of the best teams in the country right now and, you know, a Gonzaga or I haven't even been following college basketball, but Baylor or whoever is really good right now and have no chance. And it's and guys who are maybe like fringe NBA draft prospects, it's like, you maybe saw the NCAA tournament as your opportunity to, you know, surface on mock drafts and really solidify your cases getting drafted. The repercussions of this are so enormous.
Yeah, and there's no really happy way to finish this off. In the NBA, for instance, whatever they do with the playoffs, whether they wipe them out entirely or whether they wipe out the regular season and just have the playoffs as the teams are stacked up now, or try to play the end of the season, whatever they do, it's going to be contrived, and there's going to be people that, teams that feel, oh, we got screwed by this. Well, that's just the way it is. There's no good way out of this. No matter who wins, if there is an eventual winner, there'll be a huge asterisk on this forever. So we're just, I tell you the truth, Con, I hope I live through this.
Yeah, that's where we're at. You got to have your priorities straight. Kind of some other ramifications, obviously not as important as people's health, but the Warriors, let's say their season officially ends, is over. They're not going to play another game this season. They do have the worst record in the NBA, so they would have 14% odds at the number one pick and not be able to pick worse than the 5th pick. And that's another thing that's interesting about this is, like, there's other things that might be harder to push back, like the draft, which is in late June. You know, you have free agency right after that. You have summer league right after that. So the NBA schedule, if you do have to push back the playoffs, you'd have to push back everything. And it's so complicated. And there's so much money at stake. But the Warriors potentially will have to enter the draft not having the, you know, NCAA tournament or some postseason or some other postseason tournaments and conference tournaments to evaluate talent. And several of the top prospects already had their seasons over. LaMelo Ball, James Wiseman. So it's going to be even tougher on the Warriors to evaluate a relatively weak draft.
Yeah, but don't you think the Warriors already have their top 5, top 10 stacked out, and it wouldn't be changed a great deal by the big dance and all that stuff?
I agree with that. I mean, I've talked to several people, and the Warriors know who they like, and they know who they don't like. And I kind of feel like I already have a good sense of what they are going to do in the draft, or try to do at least in the draft. I do think it could hurt their chances potentially of finding a suitable trade. Let's say they get the number one pick, because there's so little film to go off of the top guys, you know, there might not be that team out there that loves, you know, LaMelo Ball or an Anthony Edwards so much that they would be willing to give a good package for the chance to draft him. Yeah. You know, and so there's that factor too.
On the plus side, that I don't want to sound weird or anything, but the Warriors picked a great season to be terrible. You know, to have everyone gone and to have just a lost season, because, you know, imagine if they had somehow had all the guys back except Durant, of course, everybody healthy and Clay coming back at midseason like we originally thought. And they made a run, you know. Hey, what if they made a run at it? They were in like second or third seed right now, and they had a chance to win another one, and it was wiped out. It would be, oh my God, it's all lost. But you know, they had nothing to lose anyway, so they haven't lost anything by this. But I'm sure they're not happy about that. But yeah, it's just, it's all weird, man.
Yeah, and then there's the financial component of this. The Warriors are. You know, they average around close to $4 million, north of $3.5 million per home game. And so over the seven home games that they'll potentially miss, they would lose out on around $25 million, which is not honestly a deal breaker or life-changing money for a franchise that's worth $4-plus billion.
$4.3.
But, hey, $25 million is $25 million, and I'm sure they're not stoked about it. And the bigger thing there is that the league is going to lose so much money. The league is going to lose hundreds of millions of dollars because of this, that it could affect the salary cap. It could affect, what players are making, because the way it could affect the luxury tax, which the Warriors worked so hard to get under the luxury tax. You know, could it affect next year's luxury tax? It's possible. You know, the NBA's business model obviously is dependent on the money that they generate. So there is a chance that players might make a little bit less money, which sounds crazy, but it's true. That's just how the algorithm of the NBA works.
Yeah, and so big that this is on top of the China situation, where, you know, the Rockets guys' tweets alienated people in China, and it caused a ripple effect, and basically it cost the NBA millions and millions and millions of dollars, maybe in the billions, in you know, stuff they lost in China. So they had that hit, which is pretty considerable, which they kind of tried to shrug off to the outside world. But then you couple it with this, and it's, you know, it's a big hit. You know, these sports are a big business, and I know these guys are all rich, and they can all take somewhat of a hit. And we shouldn't necessarily feel sorry for him. You know, Mark Cuban and all these guys are not going to be out in the street looking for, you know, the next meal or anything like that. But sports could be significant changes in terms of the whole financial deal. And the players are going to have to share it. Everybody's going to have to share it.
The people who I feel bad for, and you've written about them multiple times now, are the part-time employees, the people who are the ushers, the vendors, the janitors, you know, the people who a lot of times their livelihood kind of depends on that extra paycheck, you know, of helping out at games. And they potentially could be out significant amount of money because they're paid hourly, they're paid off the games that they work.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of these people live paycheck to paycheck. Some of these people, you know, I was saying yesterday, some people might assume that these employees, oh, it's so great, you get to work at an NBA game, it's an awesome gig. Well, these people don't even get to watch the game. They're working. Right. So it's a job. You know, it's very much a job. They sometimes, that extra income is the difference between paying rent or, you know, having enough food for their family. Like, it matters. So I know you've reported on this. What if anything can the Warriors do to help bridge that gap?
Well, they can probably do a lot. I wrote a story today. It would be in the paper Friday that, you know, Joe Lacob has said that he's going to do something. He was not specific, because everybody else in the Warriors have been hit by this avalanche of, oh my God, what do we do? But the players, the trainers, can we practice? They're dealing with all these unknown things at once. And so one of the things on their plate is, what do we do to help these part-time employees who are, if they don't work a game, they don't get paid. What are we going to do to help them? Because some of these guys, you know, there's a few of them that do it as an outside gig and they make a few bucks in their retirement and stuff like that. But there's a lot of them that depend on this money to support their families. Some of them, actually, that's their profession. They work the Warriors, they work the A's, they work the Giants.
Yeah, I've seen the same people sometimes.
And, that this is their whole career, and all of a sudden they're instantly on their ass out of no jobs. And to the Warriors' credit, so far anyway, Lacob says they're going to step up and they're going to do something. And Mark Cuban has said yesterday that he and the Mavericks will do something to help these people out. And we don't know what that is or how much it is or if it's going to be enough. But I feel these are the people at the bottom. You know, Bob Myers had it right. You know, we shouldn't feel sorry for the players, and we certainly shouldn't feel sorry for the owners. If we're going to feel sorry for somebody, how about these poor schlubs who really...
You didn't call them poor schlubs, though.
Yeah. Who really... You know, without them, the game doesn't go on. They sweep the floors. They clean the toilets. They sell the beer, you know. And these people are out with nothing all of a sudden. It's not like they're eased back on their salary or anything. They're just... They have nothing, so... I worry about them.
Yeah, no, same. You know, I think about them when I'm, you know, thinking about the fact that the Chronicle's out thousands of dollars from the fact that, you know, I booked all our travel the rest of the season and I can't get all that money back because
I think you should take the trips anyway. What the
heck? Yeah? Yeah.
Why not?
I was actually looking forward to the New York trip. I have a bunch of friends in New York and I'm a little bummed, but, you know, those are small potatoes compared to the big issue here. I want to give some props to our colleagues. I think the Chronicle's done an awesome job covering this. The news people, the people on the front lines of this with City Hall and what have you. So I've been really proud of our coverage. I think if you go to sfchronicle.com right now, you'll find everything you possibly need to know about this entire situation on both a national and local level. So Scott and I are trying to cover that on our ends with the Warriors and other sporting matters. And long term, you know, I don't know what my job's going to be. Maybe this, hopefully they give me enough to write, you know, because I'm still in season here. I don't want to feel like I'm going on vacation anytime soon.
This might be the last time I ever talk to you, Connor. Maybe we'll both lose our jobs and be out in the street tomorrow.
Yeah, that's possible.
Let's work the same street corner. Selling oranges or whatever.
That sounds great. Scott, thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for coming to my place. I really appreciate it. Hopefully we didn't have any technical difficulties this time.
And thanks to Modelo Especial for sponsoring this broadcast. Yes. Not sponsoring it, but yes. Unofficially.
Yeah, unofficially. Okay. You know, it reminds me of the times during the playoffs the past couple of years when we've recorded like 2 a.m. podcasts with Ann Killian, a couple of Modellos in. So, it's always a good time with Modelo. Our thanks to Scott Oster for joining me on the podcast. It's always great talking Warriors with him. Warriors Off Court is part of the San Francisco Chronicle podcast network. Audrey Cooper is the editor-in-chief. If you like this show, we'd love it if you subscribe to it wherever you get your podcasts. And if you've got a minute to give us a quick review, that helps us build our audience so we can keep growing. Follow me on Twitter at @con_cron and email me at cleturno@sfchronicle.com. Support Warriors Off Court and a lot of great journalism with a subscription to the San Francisco Chronicle. There are print and digital editions. Find out more at sfchronicle.com/subscribe.